Good morning. Welcome to The Rock Church. My name is Josh Whitney. I'm one of the pastors. This is part 10 of our 14-week survey of the book of Proverbs. We decided to title this series Get Wisdom because we need wisdom to be skillful at living. So 2 weeks ago, remember Pastor Brian talked about patience, how we demonstrate our faith through being patient, how it's critical that when we interact with each other, we're being patient. And then last week, Bill talked about godly correction, how he had all kinds of how-tos, a very practical message. And the way you mature in the Christian faith is a lot of times through correction. And then, if you missed either of those messages, you should catch up online. And now for part 10, we're talking about anger. Since the Bible, the book of Proverbs, talks about anger a lot, you know it's an issue for all people. And church, the reason we're studying the book of Proverbs is not so you can hear some interesting lecture on patience or correction or anger. The purpose is that God's word would convict us and change us. That is why we are studying this book. Let's define anger this morning. We all know what it is, but here's the dictionary definition. Number one, a strong feeling of annoyance, displeasure, or hostility. I like actually the second definition even better. Anger is a response to a perceived wrong that demands justice. Every one of us has felt anger. Anger is a normal human emotion. If you've never felt anger, then you're a robot or chemically suppressed or something. Because to never feel anger is to never care about anyone or anything. I've felt anger over many things in the last few weeks and months, a variety of situations. I felt anger over things that have happened in our world. Anger is a universal human emotion. So don't sit there and think, well, I'm not angry. I'm not an angry person. Have you ever left a church meeting angry? I have. Have you ever raised your voice and spoken to anybody in anger? I have. Have you ever had frustration from work spill over into the home life with roommates or family? I have. Now, some struggle with more of the explosive external anger. Others struggle with more of the private internal anger. But anger is something every person experiences. This is how the Bible defines anger. It's similar to the dictionary. Anger is an intense emotion of hot displeasure. And when you study the original word, it has to do with your face and your nostrils. Like if you're angry, your face gets all red and your nostrils start flaring. So in this teaching, we're going to talk about righteous anger, unrighteous anger, what's the source of our anger, and then some solutions or controls for our anger. So do we see anger in our society? Yeah, anger is all around us. It's an everyday occurrence. I read an article the other day that talked about something called being hangry. I didn't know the word, but I was familiar with the concept. It's a mix of being hungry and having anger. The nutritionist in the article said it's a real emotion triggered by our body's physical response for craving food. I think back to different conversations with friends over the years. I was like, when was the last time you ate something? You might want to eat something. A little did I know they were suffering from hanger or being hangry. Did you know that sociologists think that emotions are contagious? Even if you're not aware of it, your emotions influence the people around you and their emotions influence you. If you smile at somebody, that impacts their emotional state. And anger is also contagious. Maybe at work, your boss is rude to you and it affects your emotions and you come home and you snap at your family or roommates. You don't even have to see somebody face to face to catch their emotions. Emotions are spread through social media, almost like a cold or a virus. A study of nearly 700,000 Facebook users determined that we tend to mirror or copy the emotions we see in our social media feed. Let's talk about social media and anger. Now, some would correctly argue, well, anger's always been there. But now with social media and the internet, our anger can go further and faster than ever before. Guess what emotion spreads the fastest online? It's anger. And the anonymity of the internet encourages online bullying, name-calling, insults, nasty comments. You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy than the YouTube section, the comments on many videos. What about road rage? That's just another expression of anger. There was a road rage incident in Draper a few weeks ago. It was down on Pioneer Road. There were these, this is just some random picture. But these guys got into a road rage incident. The one guy jumped out of his car. He happened to have a sword in his car and a snow shovel, and he started chasing the other car. People called the cops. The cops show up to arrest him, and he spits on the police officers. So you have road rage, a snow shovel, a sword, and spitting on a police officer, all caused by uncontrolled anger and most likely alcohol as well. What about political anger? It feels like anger between politicians is at an all-time high, and this partisan nastiness is spilling over into us, the average citizens. 2 years ago, there was a survey of Republicans and Democrats and what they thought of each other. A good chunk of the Republicans described Democrats as lazy, dishonest, and immoral, and a good chunk of the Democrats described the Republicans as closed-minded, unethical, and unintelligent. There's all this hostility and anger about politics in our country. People are angry over the election results. They're angry over the clothes that people are wearing. We're told if you aren't angry, you aren't paying attention. This anger manifests itself in our bodies physically with increased blood pressure and increased risk of heart attack. Anger can express itself explosively through yelling and cussing and throwing things and violence. If you struggle with more of the internal anger, it's bitterness, it's gossip, it's slander, it's resentment in our heart. And we won't get into the statistics on verbal or physical abuse. Anger manifests itself in so many destructive ways in our society, and it seems like anger is increasing in our country. Esquire magazine surveyed 3,000 Americans, and 49%, half of the people that were surveyed, said that they are angrier now than they were a year ago. Half of the people surveyed in our country were like, I'm angrier now than I was a year ago. And 68% of Americans said they get angry once a day when they read or watch something in the news. What makes us angry? It could be many things. It could be a news story. It could be something you see in social media. But more likely, it's how your spouse treated you. It's that person who sinned against you. Maybe it's a health trial in your life that's making you angry. Why didn't I get that promotion at work? Why did my boss embarrass me? Why are my kids disobeying me? Why did my family member treat me like that? Why did that friend betray me and break my heart? I have felt anger over all of those situations and more. Jay Adams, an author and counselor, put it this way. He said, anger is a problem for every Christian. Sinful anger is probably involved in 90% of all counseling problems. So in our angry world, in our angry lives, thankfully, God's word, the book of Proverbs, has truth for us related to our anger. So I want to talk about righteous anger versus unrighteous anger, because when we see this definition, the second one there, anger, a response to a perceived wrong that demands justice, many of us can think, well, I'm just angry like God is angry at sin. And it does say in Psalm 7:11, God is a righteous judge, a God who feels indignation every day. Indignation is just another way of saying anger. So God feels anger every day. He sees all of the evil and sin happening on our planet, and it makes God angry. He's always angry. Now, God is loving and he's merciful, but God feels indignation every day. May I be so bold as to say that God would not be good if he saw all of the sin and evil happening on this planet and he did not feel anger over it. God is not indifferent to human suffering and sin and evil. Anger is what is flowing from God's heart when he sees our sinful world, and he'd ultimately judge our world and every single person who has ever lived. There are many verses that talk about God's wrath, God's anger, God's judgment, God's justice. And it's not like God has some just impulsive reaction to sin. God is measured and he is careful and he is storing up wrath for the day of judgment. It is only, listen to me, it is only God's incredible love, his mercy and patience that he's not judged this entire planet already. God has righteous anger. You go, yeah, I'm like that. Or maybe you go, I have righteous anger like Jesus had in the Gospels. Remember when Jesus went in and cleared the temple and the money changers out? Or look at this story. I'll read it to you in Mark chapter 3. This is another example of Jesus' anger. Jesus went into the synagogue again and noticed a man with a crippled hand. Since it was a Sabbath or a Saturday, Jesus' enemies watched him closely to see if he healed the man's hand, and they were going to accuse him of working on a Saturday. Jesus said to the man with the crippled hand, "Come up here, stand in front of all the people." He turned to his critics and said, "Does the law permit good deeds on Saturday, or is it a day for doing evil? Is this the day to save life or destroy it?" But they wouldn't answer him. Verse 5, Jesus looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. And they went ahead and healed the guy's hand anyway. Jesus was angry that these people would not say, "Yeah, you should heal his hand. Do that good thing." They were so wrapped up in their rules of righteousness, not working on a Saturday, that they were neglecting love and justice in that moment. And it made Jesus angry. There are things that should make you angry. When you hear about a husband who cheated on his wife and committed adultery, you should feel anger. What you do with that anger is a key question. Or when you hear about the murder of millions of unborn babies every year in our country through abortion, that should stir some anger in your heart. And the Bible says, in your anger, do not sin. Or when you read some news story about some celebrity that raped women or another celebrity who molested children, you should feel something. You shouldn't be like, whatever. I think of William Wilberforce. He was a Christian in England years ago. He was angry that his country was practicing slavery, and for 40 years he fought slavery through the legislature till he got it outlawed. Or if somebody was messing with your kid, you should feel anger and move to protect your kid. How you protect your kid is a very important question, but move to protect. Again, anger is a response to a perceived wrong that demands justice. If somebody was messing with my kid and I was just standing there, you'd be like, you wouldn't think, "Oh, what a chill dude." You'd be like, "Does he care? Does he see?" But here's the thing. When the Bible moves beyond God's anger, the examples of righteous human anger are few and far between. For example, I think of the Apostle Paul. He was angry that they were preaching a false gospel in Galatia. Or Moses was angry when he came down out of the mountains and the Israelites were worshiping a golden calf. So there are examples in the Bible of righteous human anger, but the vast majority of the verses in the Bible that talk about anger are about controlling your anger, managing your anger, not sinning in your anger. But again, when we feel angry, we think, "Well, I'm just like Jesus. I have anger like Jesus. I'm so angry at my wife." Well, you walked in your house and your wife was worshiping a golden idol? Well, no, she just spoke to me a little rudely, so I snapped at her in anger. I was angry at my kid. Why? Were they preaching a false gospel to their sibling? No, they wouldn't stay in their bed, so I just screamed at them in anger. I was angry at my friend at church. Why? You walked into church and they were trying to sell indulgences to people? No, they didn't say hi to me, so I haven't talked to them for the last month. Let me be crystal clear. If any of us are tempted to think, "Oh, I just get angry like Jesus," you aren't Jesus. I'm not Jesus. None of us are Jesus. So we should be very careful to pull out the righteous anger card. You see, here's the difference. This is critical. Your first handout blank. Righteous anger is focused on God and His will and is self-controlled. Unrighteous anger is focused on us and our will and is unrestrained. Again, the Bible is pretty clear. Most of the time when people are expressing their anger, they're doing it in an unrighteous or sinful way. Now, how does our culture tell us to handle our anger? I read a few articles by psychologists, quote-unquote experts. These are the expert method ways to deal with anger. Some suggested punching something. They said, get your boxing gloves, go get a punching bag, and you just punch it and pretend like you're punching the person that made you angry. If you can't afford that, another part of the article said, get a big stack of pillows, wait till you're all alone, and just beat the tar out of that and pretend like you're beating up the person who made you angry. One quote-unquote expert said you should paint an angry painting. The chair, this is kind of interesting, it's called the Gestalt technique. It's like, imagine the person you're angry with sitting in that chair and you just scream and yell and swear and you just tell that person off. And the article concluded, within minutes, your bottled up anger will vent and you will be more relaxed and objective. Is that true? Is that true? Just vent it and it's gone? Sounds to me like let the hate flow through you. Give in to your anger. Is this good advice? Do these quote-unquote experts know what they're talking about? But more importantly, is this the language of the Bible? Vent your anger. Give in to your anger. Is this the language of the Bible? No, it is not. Let's look at some classic New Testament verses on anger. Colossians 3:8. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Or Ephesians 4:26. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. And then Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions. Pretty negative take on anger. We're commanded to get rid of it, remove it, don't give in to it. Look at this quote by Gustav Stalin, a German theologian. He said this: "This almost exclusively negative judgment of anger in man explains why the New Testament is so much more restrained in its concessions than the world around." We all experience anger. We live in a broken world. People sin against us all the time. They hurt our feelings. They do evil things. We see justice, injustice, and evil around us. So anger is a natural human response. But again, Ephesians 4, in your anger, do not sin. So to give in to your anger, to vent it in an evil or sinful way, that's the old life. We're commanded to put on the new life in Christ. I've read every verse in the Bible that talks about anger multiple times. The Bible is clear. Our anger can be dangerous. The Bible is very suspicious of our capacity to act in righteous anger. Look at our definition of anger again. Righteous anger is focused on God and His will and is self-controlled. Unrighteous anger is focused on us and our will and is unrestrained. So before we get into the Proverbs that talk about how to be skillful at living with your anger, how to control your anger, I want to briefly talk about the source of our anger. What could be the source of your anger? What makes you angry? Maybe you're frustrated with people. Maybe work has been challenging. Maybe people are picking on you at school. Maybe you're angry about a health trial or a financial trial in your life. Maybe people have bad attitudes. They're unwilling to help with stuff. Maybe people aren't supporting your leadership. Maybe you're overworked, you're stressed out. Maybe you feel like you've been unfairly criticized recently. Maybe you're angry at your kids. Maybe you're angry at your parents. Maybe your spouse sinned against you. These are all sources of anger. These are external sources of anger. These are many of the things that we go, yep, that's what made me angry. How would you answer that question? This makes me angry, fill in the blank, dot, dot, dot. We tend to, as people, point outside of ourselves and talk about bad external things that people have said or done against us and go, that's why I'm angry. But look at Jesus' words in Matthew 15:17. Jesus said, "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. For sure, two or three of those are directly related to our anger. It comes out of our heart." If we're going to believe Jesus' words right here in this verse, he's saying the source of our sinful anger is not out there, it's in here. Because we think, well, I'm angry because of these external factors that happen to me. Jesus is saying, no, those external factors just reveal the anger that is in your heart and my heart. Your spouse, your roommate, your friend, they did not cause your anger. They revealed the anger that was already in your heart or my heart. So our anger is rooted in our heart. Its roots run deep. If you are ever going to deal with your anger, you must realize it starts in you. It's inside of you. In other words, first step is call your sin, sin. My anger is sin. Call it what it is. Don't blame it on other things. I can think, oh, my kids make me angry. No, my kids reveal the anger in my heart. We are people that need God's help if we're going to control our anger. So let's get into the verses in Proverbs. Let's talk about some real practical tools to control our anger so we can be skillful with our anger. So it brings up our first action item. It's critical. Use God's tools to deal with your anger. Prayer, the word, counsel, and accountability. We got to ask for God's help when we're angry. God, help me to be self-controlled. Lord, help me to be calm. Lord, help me to know what to do right now in this stressful situation, this angering situation. Look at Proverbs 15:29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. So ask for God's help. There are many verses that talk about how God's word helps us in our trials, or how counsel is helpful for victory, or how we confess our sins to each other and we pray for each other. Do you believe these verses? Do you live them? If you're struggling with anger, are you using the tools that God has given you? Prayer, the word, counsel, accountability. I read a powerful example of a Christian who used these tools. This is Leroy Imes. He worked for the Navigators for 50 years. He was the director of worldwide evangelism, the director of U.S. ministries. He wrote 14 books, including the best-selling Lost Art of Disciple Making. So Leroy was what we call a super Christian. So he wrote this. He said when he was younger, he struggled with a terrible temper. He said this, I'll read it to you. He said, I had a violent temper. Whenever it flared, I'd haul up and bash my fist into the nearest door. Even though I often bloodied my knuckles and once completely smashed a beautiful diamond ring my wife had given me, I couldn't seem to stop. Yet here was God's word, Colossians 3:8, get rid of anger. He continues, this wasn't just God's advice to people in Colossia centuries ago. It was God speaking to me right now. So I made a covenant with God to work on controlling my anger. My first step was to memorize this verse and review it every day. And I prayed and asked God to bring this verse to mind whenever I was tempted to lose my temper. Asked my wife to pray for me and remind me of this verse when she saw me failing in my promise to God. And so he concludes, Colossians 3:8 became part of my life and gradually removed that sin from me. I love that. Leroy utilized the tools that God had given him to deal with anger. Do you? What are some verses you can memorize related to anger? Proverbs 14:29. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Proverbs 16:32. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Proverbs 19:11, good sense makes one slow to anger. It is his glory to overlook an offense. There's like a little common phrase in all of those. Do you see it? Right there. Slow to anger. Pray that. Lord, help me to be slow to anger. We're going to need a lot of that patience that Brian talked about a couple weeks ago if we're going to control our anger. Lord, help me to overlook this offense. Lord, help me not to get angry. This is God's heart. This is what God wants in our lives. When you're praying, you're asking God, you're saying, God, I want more of this good thing you talked about in your word in my life. Lord, help me to be slow to anger. Satan wants you to be quick to anger. Satan wants you to hang on to that anger. He wants that anger to be in your life and slowly make you bitter and resentful and destroy the people around you. And Proverbs 16:32, it's easier to go conquer a city than control your spirit. You don't believe it? Try it sometime. Not the city conquering, the spirit controlling part. I read a sobering story. You guys have heard of Peter the Great. He was one of the czars of Russia. Peter the Great, in a fit of rage, struck his gardener who died. And Peter the Great said this. He said, alas, I've conquered other nations. I have not been able to conquer myself. So here's the blank. Be slow to anger. Pray it. Lord, help me not to be hasty. Help me not to be quick-tempered. Lord, help me to be so slow to get angry. Here's another anger control method from Proverbs. Remember, the Lord and other people are watching how you react. Proverbs 5:21, for your ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all your paths. Proverbs 12:16, the vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. So again, a great way to control your anger is, remember, Jesus is watching, and other people. How I react right now. So imagine if you and your roommate or you and your spouse are starting to get into a bad fight. You've hurt each other's feelings, emotions are going up, your face is getting red, your nostrils are flaring, you're just starting to light into each other, and the doorbell rings. You go open up the door, and it's Jesus, and he's standing there on your doormat. He's like, can I come in? You're like a little taken aback, but you're like, sure, Jesus. And he walks in and sits down and goes, and you guys were saying? That's literally what 521 is saying. Jesus is watching how I speak to my wife. Jesus is watching how I treat my kids. Jesus is watching how I speak to my co-pastor. I know what some of you are thinking. I tried that. I tried to remember that Jesus was there. It didn't help. I was just too mad. Might I suggest meditating on two things? First, the sovereignty of God. God is absolutely sovereign. God is in control. We go, why did this happen? Why is this happening to me? This is a great injustice, Lord. Why is this happening? Church, you have to remember the Lord is in control of everything. Even my sinful child, even my rude coworker, my unkind friend. God is in control of all of it. We need to rest in that. Second truth to meditate on is the justice of God. Because you might be thinking, how can I stay calm when this evil thing has happened to me? There should be judgment for this. God is like, you're right. There should be. There was, or there will be. If the person who sinned against you was a Christian, Jesus Christ was crushed on the cross for that sin. Massive earthquake, planetary darkness, people terrified as God the Father poured his wrath out on Jesus Christ for that sin done against you. If the person who sinned against you never becomes a Christian, they will suffer eternal torment in hell for that sin. Eternal darkness, all alone, continual pain and suffering. Either way, God promises to settle all accounts. But we think, if I don't hold on to this, a great injustice will go unpunished. But God will deal with all wrongs rightly. You cannot add one drop to God's justice. Believe that God's justice will prevail. Believe that God is in control. In other words, leave it to God. Who's better at vengeance, you or God? God says, I hate that they did that to you. Give it to me. My justice will prevail, the Lord says. So we need to gather up all of our anger and hand it over to the righteous judge. What's another anger control method in Proverbs? Don't speak or act until you've controlled your emotions. Proverbs 14, 17. A man of quick temper acts foolishly. A man of evil devices is hated. Proverbs 29, 11. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. In other words, think before you act. Don't speak or act until you've controlled your emotions. Maybe if you struggle with more of the expressive external anger, you slam doors, you throw whatever is handy, you yell, you swear, you break furniture, you storm out of the room in a fit of rage. Unrestrained anger makes people act foolishly. It can wreck your whole life. A husband or wife strikes their spouse in a fit of rage. The cops get called. Somebody's most likely going to jail over uncontrolled anger. When you are acting in anger, you are saying and doing foolish things. Anger has to be controlled. But sadly, most people don't control their anger. They lose control. And once they're out of control, all bets are off. Now, some people, they've learned to just keep that anger bottled up in their heart. They never talk about it, but it just starts poisoning their heart. It grows in resentment and bitterness, and that is not good either. And again, some show their anger through their words and actions. Unrestrained ventilation of anger only provides temporary relief. You might feel better in the moment. You feel worse afterward. So unrestrained anger causes people to speak and act foolishly. Unrestrained expressions of anger are almost always wrong. But again, we're told, scream, let it out. Pound that pillow and pretend it's your mom. I like how William Arnaud, the Scottish pastor and author, put it. He said, a wise man may indeed experience the heat of anger, but he will do nothing till he cools again. Don't speak or act until you've controlled your emotions. Think about the words we say when we're angry. Look at these verses, Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stirs up anger. Proverbs 17:27. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, but he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Proverbs 29:20. Do you see a man who's hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him. So what is it telling us? It's saying, guard your words. Speak softly. Lower your voice. Use a pleasant tone. Keep your emotions in check. These verses are saying this will reduce the tension in the situation. What's a fool? The last verse there, a fool? A fool is a person that doesn't want to hear input. You can't teach them. They're proud. They only learn lessons the hard way. You don't want to be a fool. Control your words. We must learn to verbalize our anger in a godly way. It's a skill. It's something you learn. And then parents, you need to model it to your children. Kids that don't learn healthy expressions of anger grow up to become adults that don't express their anger in a healthy way. So moms and dads, what are you teaching your kids through your words and actions? Now you guys see the balance here, I hope. The Bible says we need to express the truth in love. So I'm not talking about just suppress it. Because again, that leads to bitterness and resentment. Acknowledge your anger. Remember last week, Bill was talking about correction. Most of the time, it's you see something wrong, you go, no, that's wrong. I should talk to that person. Your anger over that injustice should trigger correction. But do it in love. Do it in a godly way. So total suppression of our anger is destructive. But these verses are teaching that unrestrained ventilation of anger is also destructive. That thing that happened to you that just makes you angry, talk about it. But lower your voice. Be gentle. Be kind in your words. And a word to all the parents here. I heard this in a sermon by a pastor named Alex Strzok. Very challenging words. He said, anger is learned. Children learn anger from their parents. They may hate their parents' anger, but end up struggling with anger themselves. How does this unrestrained, unrighteous anger escalate our conflicts? Look at these Proverbs 15:18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. And then Proverbs 20, verse 3. It is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. And then Proverbs 29:22, a man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression. And then Proverbs 30:33, for pressing milk produces curds, pressing the nose produces blood, and pressing anger produces strife. Conflict is as normal as breathing. We hurt each other, we offend each other, we sin against each other. It's part of the human experience, and when we're angry, it causes all of these conflicts. We tend to get the angriest with the people we love the most. But people, when they're hurt, they think they can say and do whatever they want. Something sinful has happened to me, so now I'm justified to say and do whatever I want. That's not biblical. That's not true. These verses are teaching us an important truth. Most conflicts would not be a big deal if people just controlled their anger, didn't say and do hurtful things to each other. You see, unrestrained anger escalates conflicts. He hurt my feelings, and then I said something rude to him, and then he said something rude back, and now it's 2 hours later, and we're both emotional. We don't know how to resolve this. So one of the best ways to resolve conflict is to control your anger. How many fights in the church, how many fights among Christians, how many fights in families or with neighbors are taken to DEFCON 1 because of unresolved conflict and unresolved anger, uncontrolled anger? And men and women, never forget, uncontrolled anger could cost you your marriage, it could cost you your kids, it could cost you your job, your freedom if you go to jail. Another anger control method from Proverbs. When you sin in your anger, confess it and ask for forgiveness. Proverbs 28:13, whoever conceals his transgression will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. You must say to your friend or your wife or your husband or your kids, that was wrong. I was angry. That was sinful. I should not have done that. Will you please forgive me? Don't justify it. Don't minimize it. Own it. That was sinful anger. Confess it and ask for forgiveness. This verse is encouraging. Mercy is given from God when we drag our ugly old sin out in the light and go, God, that's anger. That's sinful. That's wicked. God will forgive it. He will give us mercy. That's the good news. That's the gospel. Religion says, clean yourself up and then approach God. Christianity says, God, I'm a wicked sinner. I'm an angry man. God goes, all right, that's step one. I forgive you. I've said to my kids many times, your dad should not have spoken to you that way. That was wrong. I was angry. Will you forgive me? The Christian who confesses their sin, who forsakes their sin, can cling to God's promise of mercy and forgiveness. And if you're struggling with forgiving someone who has hurt you, my encouragement would be forgive them like God forgave you. Extend your fellow Christian, your spouse, your family member, the same grace that you want God to put and treat you with. One final anger control method from Proverbs. Don't hang out with angry people, real or digital. Proverbs 22:24, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. You will become like the people you hang out with. You're sort of the average of your closest friends. In other words, the people you hang out with day to day are shaping you. And this can be negative if you hang out with an angry person and learn their ways, or an angry man, an angry woman. You could learn habits that wreck your life. Anger is learned. It says, lest you learn his ways. You learn the ways of yelling and swearing and violence and out of control rage, or you learn how to bury stuff and be resentful and bitter and unforgiving. We learn it from our parents. We learn it from our classmates, our friends, our coworkers. So it's absolutely critical who you hang out with. And I added digital because I think that we can learn anger from the shows we watch and the people we listen to. It's very entertaining to watch a show where someone's out of control. But this verse is warning us. We can learn sinful habits by even watching angry people. So as we bring this to a close, I hope you understand we all have anger. And the book of Proverbs lays out some very useful steps for dealing with unrighteous anger. And again, some express it through yelling and swearing and name-calling and violence and storming out. And others express it through the silent treatment and resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness. So to imagine ripping that anger out of our lives, it seems overwhelming. But I love this quote by Charles Spurgeon, the pastor. He said, "Do not tell me there is anything in human nature too stubborn for the Lord to overcome, for there is not." Christian, there's nothing in your life that Jesus cannot help you defeat. Look at Jesus' words in Luke 17:5. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And Jesus said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Have faith. Trust Jesus. It seems like Jesus is in the business of ripping sin out of people's lives. Have you asked for the Lord's help? Lord, my anger runs deep in my family. I learned it from my father. He learned it from his father. Lord, help me. I can't get it out. God says, I'll help you. God will give us the grace. He gives us the tools in the book of Proverbs. Jesus says, I can help you. Let's rip that tree of anger out of your heart. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that you have righteous anger over all the garbage that's happening on this planet. God, you see all the sin and junk and yuck, Lord. And Lord, help us to be a church full of people that we go, I don't need to do justice. I don't need to bring wrath here. God will deal with every sin that has happened to me in a righteous, holy, perfect way. God, help us to meditate on what it means to have righteous anger versus unrighteous anger, Lord. Righteous anger focused on you and your will and is self-control. Lord, help us to express our anger in a godly, righteous way. God, I know that anger is an issue for everybody here, Lord, either the private internal anger, the expressive, explosive anger, Lord, but we want to be people that use your tools from the book of Proverbs to grow in controlling our anger. We can't do it without your help, Lord. Help us to have faith. Help us to rip those weeds, that root of anger out of our heart. We say all this in Jesus' name. Amen.